wife for more than 30 years. Certainly after all that time she knew what she was talking about. But Hope was inclined to trust her regardless of her professional experience. It was men who always failed her. Another contraction gripped her body. Biting back a tormented moan, she clenched her fists and gritted her teeth. She didn't know how much more she could take. It felt as if someone had a knife and was stabbing her repeatedly in the abdomen. Except for the music playing quietly in the background, the place was quiet. Parker Reynolds, the administrator, and the other midwives and clerical people who worked at the center were long gone. They'd left before Lydia had even induced her. She and Lydia were the only ones at the birthplace. With its scented candles, soft lighting, and soothing music, the room was meant to be comfortable and welcoming, like home. But this room, with its turquoise and peach wallpaper, Spanish tile floor and wooden shutters at the window, was nothing like the home Hope had known. She'd grown up sharing a bedroom with at least 3 siblings, oftentimes 4. If there were candles, it was because the electricity had been turned off for non-payment. And the only music she'd been allowed to listen to was classical or hymns.
"Good girl,"
Lydia said as Hope fought the impulse to bear down. At this point, Hope didn't care if she caused herself physical damage. She felt as though the baby was ripping its way out of her anyway. She just didn't want to displease Lydia. The ultrasound she'd had several weeks earlier indicated she was having a girl, and Lydia had promised that her daughter would go to a good home. Hope didn't want to give her any reason to break that promise. Mostly because Lydia had painted such an idyllic picture of her baby's future. Her baby would have a crib and a matching comforter and bumper pads and a mobile hanging above her head. She'd have doting parents who would give her dance lessons, help her with her homework, and send her to college. When the time was right, they'd pay for a lovely wedding. Her daughter would marry someone kind and strong, have a normal family, and eventually become a grandmother. She'd wear store-bought clothes and listen to all kinds of music. She'd feel good about being a woman. Better than anything, she'd never know what she'd so narrowly escaped. Hope wanted sanctuary for her child. She wanted it more than anything. After her daughter arrived and started her princess-like life, it wouldn't matter what happened to Hope. She would already have given the only gift she could. She would have saved her daughter from the Brethren.
"The deal's off,"
Lydia stated flatly, entering her office cradling Hope's new baby. Fear nearly choked Parker Reynolds at this announcement. He glanced briefly at his father-in-law, U.S. Congressman John Barlow, who'd been waiting with him, before letting his gaze fall on the baby they'd come to collect.
"Is something wrong?" he asked. "Is Hope okay?" "Mother and baby are both fine, but..."
She split her gaze between them.
"It's a boy."
A boy. Parker's heart pounded in his chest like a bass drum. A boy could change everything.
"Does Hope know?"
"I haven't told her yet, but..."
"Perfect,"
his father-in-law interrupted.
"You were worried how it would look to have Parker and Vanessa receive a newborn baby so soon after Hope gave birth. Now they won't have to relocate, and you won't have to hire a new administrator. There's no chance of anyone putting 2 and 2 together."
Torn, Parker shoved his hands in his pockets and turned toward the window. After 2 miscarriages, his wife had never been able to get pregnant again. Now her health was too bad to continue trying. She was ill and miserable, and so depressed she couldn't get out of bed even on good days. She claimed that having a baby would make all the difference, that it would give her the will to survive. He believed it would. He believed it was his responsibility as her husband to save her somehow. But because of Vanessa's health, there wasn't an adoption agency anywhere that would work with them. This was his only chance.
"The baby's sex played a big part in her decision to give up the baby,"
Lydia explained.
"I don't give a damn if it did," John replied. "She can't provide for a boy any easier than she can a girl. She's a 17-year-old runaway, for crying out loud. What can she offer this child?"
Parker felt his commitment to what they were doing waver even more. 2 weeks ago, when he'd approached his father-in-law with this idea, it had all seemed so simple. Vanessa needed a baby. Hope's baby needed a family. Lydia needed money to keep the center afloat. But it didn't seem so simple.